Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Gnar Trees podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Modern Times Revised Edition by Paul Johnson is a sweeping narrative history of the 20th century, tracking the forces that shaped global politics, economics, culture, and everyday life from the aftermath of World War I through the end of the Cold War. Johnson frames the era as one defined by unprecedented technological capability and equally unprecedented political experimentation, with ideologies and leaders competing to direct modernity itself. The book moves across continents and systems, connecting revolutionary movements, total war, mass propaganda, economic crises, and the rise of new international orders. In the revised edition, the story extends into the late 20th century, allowing readers to see how earlier decisions echoed into the 1980s and 1990s. Written for general readers but packed with argument and detail, it offers a coherent interpretation rather than a neutral encyclopedia. The result is a fast-paced, provocative guide to why the modern world looks the way it does and why the 20th century remains a warning and a lesson. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the post-World War I settlement and the fragile birth of a new world order. A central theme is how the end of World War I did not resolve the underlying tensions that produced global conflict, but instead created a brittle international environment. Johnson explores the hopes placed in new diplomacy, new borders, and institutions meant to prevent future war, while emphasizing how unresolved grievances, economic disruption, and political radicalization undermine stability. The interwar years become a proving ground for competing visions of modern governance, from parliamentary systems trying to cope with mass politics to revolutionary movements insisting that liberal institutions were obsolete. The period also highlights how ideas about national self-determination collided with imperial legacies and minority populations, producing conflicts that later escalated. Rather than treating the 1920s as a simple recovery and the 1930s as a sudden collapse, the book connects them as stages in a single process of stress and disillusionment. This framing helps explain why economic volatility, diplomatic miscalculation, and ideological fervor could combine so quickly into another world war. The topic matters because it sets the foundation for everything that follows, showing how early 20th century decisions shaped later security dilemmas, alliances, and the political language of the century. Secondly, ideologies, leaders, and the seduction of total solutions, modern times give sustained attention to the rise of political ideologies that promised complete answers to social and economic problems, often at the expense of pluralism and individual rights. Johnson examines how mass movements and charismatic leadership could mobilize hope and fear, turning politics into a struggle for total control over society. This includes the ways propaganda, party discipline, and state institutions were used to reshape education, culture, and even private life. The emphasis is not only on the brutality of totalitarian systems, but also on the mechanisms that made them persuasive to millions, especially amid inflation, unemployment, and national humiliation. The book links ideology to the modern tools of organization and communication, arguing that 20th century power depended on the ability to manage information and build administrative machinery. By comparing different regimes and leaders, the narrative highlights patterns such as scapegoating, utopian rhetoric, and the concentration of authority. For readers, this topic offers a toolkit for understanding how political extremes gain traction, why democratic norms can erode, and how the desire for certainty can lead societies to accept coercion as progress. Thirdly, economic upheaval, state planning, and the recurring crisis of prosperity, Johnson treats economics as a driver of political legitimacy and social stability, showing how the century repeatedly tested the relationship between markets, governments, and ordinary citizens. From post-war debt and reparations to the Great Depression and later debates over welfare states and deregulation, the book traces how economic ideas influenced policy choices with enormous human consequences. A key focus is the tension between state planning and market mechanisms, and how each was defended as the rational path to modernity. Johnson connects economic performance to confidence in institutions, arguing that hardship and inequality can fuel radical politics, while periods of growth can mask structural fragilities. He also explores how technological change, productivity gains, and consumer culture altered expectations about living standards, creating pressure on governments to deliver stability and employment. International trade, monetary policy, and energy shocks become part of a larger story about globalization before the term became common. This topic helps readers see the 20th century not as a steady march toward prosperity, but as a cycle of booms, crashes, and policy experiments, where economic arguments were inseparable from moral and political choices. Fourthly, total war, nuclear strategy, and the reshaping of international relations. Another major thread is how industrialized warfare transforms states and societies, and how the experience of total war set the stage for the Cold War. Johnson describes the escalation from conventional conflict to strategic bombing, mass mobilization, and eventually nuclear weapons, emphasizing how these developments change the meaning of security and power. The post-1945 world is presented as a landscape in which direct great power war became catastrophically risky, pushing rivalry into proxy conflicts, intelligence operations, and ideological competition. Alliances, deterrence, and arms races are treated as political systems in their own right, with domestic consequences such as militarization, secrecy, and the growth of national security bureaucracies. The book also highlights how decolonization and regional conflicts complicated bipolar confrontation, making international relations a web rather than a simple two-sided contest. By linking battlefield realities to diplomacy and domestic politics, this topic clarifies why the second half of the century combined relative stability among major powers with intense violence elsewhere. It also shows how the fear of annihilation shaped culture, public debate, and the limits of political imagination. Lastly, culture, science, and the moral arguments of modernity, beyond high politics, Johnson pays attention to how cultural shifts and scientific advances altered what people believed about authority, progress, and human nature. The 20th century saw mass media expand from newspapers to radio and television, changing how leaders communicated and how citizens formed opinions. At the same time, breakthroughs in medicine, physics, and technology delivered real improvements while raising ethical dilemmas, especially when science became entangled with warfare and state power. The book treats culture not as decoration, but as a battlefield of values, where competing narratives about freedom, equality, tradition, and identity influence policy and social life. Artistic and intellectual movements are presented as part of broader debates about whether modernity liberates or alienates, and whether societies can sustain moral constraints amid rapid change. The revised scope into the late 20th century allows consideration of how consumerism, individualism, and new social movements reshaped politics and expectations. This topic helps readers understand why the century cannot be explained solely through diplomacy and economics. The modern world was also built through changing moral vocabularies, media environments, and the public credibility of institutions such as religion, academia, and the press. In conclusion, this book is well suited to readers who want a big-picture explanation of the 20th century without being confined to a single country or a narrow academic debate. Students, general history readers, and professionals trying to understand the roots of current geopolitical and cultural tensions will gain the most, especially those who appreciate an interpretive narrative that connects events to ideas. The main benefit is clarity. Johnson offers a structured way to see how war, ideology, economics, and cultural change interacted, so the century becomes intelligible rather than a list of disconnected crises. That clarity can improve a reader's life by sharpening judgment about propaganda, political promises, and the recurring patterns of institutional failure and renewal. The book is also worth buying compared to many survey histories because it is argument-driven and synthetic, linking leaders and policies to broader moral and social consequences, and extending the story into the late 20th century for a fuller arc. Even when readers disagree with the author's emphasis, the coherence of the interpretation makes it an energizing companion to other histories and a strong foundation for deeper reading. If you would like to support Paul Johnson, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.